Money talk all day.
I could do a lot of things if I had some money.
We're the Money Matters Radio Network on MoneyMattersBoston.com.
All right, and welcome to the Money Matters Afternoon Edition. I am your host, Paul Hunley from the Armstrong Advisory Group, and we are joined today by estate planning attorney Brendan King from EstatePreservationLaw.com. We're going to have an action-packed show. We're going to talk a lot about your legal needs, your asset protection, your estate planning, but first let's jump down to Wall Street. Unfortunately, it's not a great day out there. Dow's down 191 points to 11,884. NASDAQ's at 2633, off 45 points. S&P at 1265, down 22.87. 10-year Treasury dips below 3%. Oil down dramatically, down $4 to $95.37 a barrel. Gold up on Greece concerns at 1524. So, tough day out there. Tuck that portfolio away. Start rooting for the Bruins. And I want to bring in Brendan King. Brendan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
You got your black and gold. Ready to go?
You know, it's funny. I have to admit that, you know, I haven't been following the Bruins. I'm not one of those guys that hangs on to every game and you know, I am late on jumping on the bandwagon, but I did watch game 6. I did catch that last one, which was nice.
So you're really
late. I'm really late, but admittedly so. I caught the last 15 minutes of game 6 and it looked great. And they looked
Oh man, I thought here
good.
I was on the bandwagon. I jump in to Bruins usually around the start of the playoffs,
yeah.
Just because the regular season's so long.
Right.
Welcome.
Right.
You know, so.
Hey, make some room for me on that bandwagon there, Paul.
So procrastination on the Bruins brings us kind of up to our topic.
Yeah.
And oftentimes you sit down with folks who have done procrastinating on their estate planning. So, you know, one of the things that goes into it, and oftentimes I imagine you sit down with folks, and I know as a financial professional, I sit down with folks, and during the commercial break we were talking about this, is people say, well, I've done my legal work. But that's not, you know, 100% there. So kind of explain when someone tells you, I've done my legal work. Because you're really talking about not just doing the work, but finalizing the product.
Exactly. You've gotta put the lid on the box. I mean, you've got to make sure that it's done. And quite frankly, it's really never done. I mean, you really should always go back into your estate planning. Make sure that if you're picking up assets or buying new assets, that, you know, how does that fit into my plan? It should always be thought about. Now, I like to flatter myself, Paul, and say, hey, people are always thinking about their estate plan. And I have to be somewhat realistic that, you know, people are a lot more, romantic in their lives than I probably am. They probably have better things to do than constantly worry about estate planning. But it's true in the sense that, hey, you know, if you're bringing in an asset to your plan, that should be looked at. But to your point, hey, have you ever done anything with your assets? And that's really where we're going with today's show. Today's show is all about, you know, getting your assets in line. You know, you've drafted the trust, which I'm sure you've seen dozens, if not hundreds of times.
Sure.
You know, you got the trust set up, and you were saying even at the break, you know, you look at the brokerage statement, and it's in their names, or it's jointly held, and you sit there and say, you know, you do realize that, you know, this may have, you know, you may have wanted to have a discussion as to where this goes once you've had it signed. So you're right, there's the document set up. Or even if there's no document set up, have an appreciation for what your will doesn't do. Or what your will does. In other words, if you do have jointly held assets and you think you're all set because you have a will, well, your will handles probate assets, and as we know from previous shows, those are assets held in your name alone without a listed beneficiary. So, you know, good luck, because your joint owner is going to take everything. And if that's not your favorite kid, then your other kids are not going to get too much on that deal, and he ain't cutting it back. So it's real important to kind of, you know, get your assets in line, if you will. That is part and parcel, and is really part of estate planning.
No, okay. Starting with kind of some basics there. You know, let's go real young. All right. You look like a young guy. I'm a
Thank you.
Youngly married man. You know, no children yet, but, you know.
You look pretty happy there, Paul.
Yeah, that's look at me. I get to go golfing when I want to, stay up late to watch the Bruins, you know, fantastic.
Right.
But, you know, let's start maybe in that 30 to mid 40s range.
Yeah.
You're a young family. Oftentimes estate planning gets lifted on the elderly,
you know,
people say like, oh, well, I don't need to do estate planning. I'm not old.
Right?
I mean, is that an accurate portrayal?
You know, we get that a lot, and I think people think that a lot, because if you were to take a cross section of our clientele, you know, a good part of them are on the, I guess, quote unquote, older side. But we do have a fair amount of younger clients, and I think those are the ones who are informed. And again, that's why we're here. You know, we're giving out information. If you are in that age range, absolutely. I mean, if you've got, because estate planning is a heck of a lot more than, you know, what if I die? But you could, when you're young, lady, young guy, you have life insurance. Now, when you buy life insurance, you're doing estate planning, whether you know it or not. You know, you purchasing that policy, where's it going? Who's the beneficiary? Do you want that person to be the direct beneficiary? Do you want a shelter for taxes? I mean, there's a lot of thought that goes into something as simple, I guess, as just someone thinking they're just going to buy a policy. So, you know, if you've got kids, young kids, hey, what's going to happen to these kids if we both pass? You know, who's going to be the guardians? How are the assets going to be held? Is there someone, you know, that I would want to be different than the guardians to manage the money? These are the kind of types of questions that we have to sit down with clients about, you know, so when those younger clients come in, you know, they may not want to talk about it. Sometimes those are the harder clients to convince, you know, because they're thinking, oh, you know, I'm not going to die. But the flip side of that is part of our estate planning process is asset protection. And it goes again with what we're going to talk about, which is how do you hold your assets? Because younger clients, you know, are probably more likely to get sued. They're the ones driving faster on the highway. You know, they might not be driving 30 in the fast lane with their blinker on for 80 miles, causing all the accidents. They're the one getting in the accidents, you know, and getting sued or whatever it is. We're making business decisions of filing the bankruptcies. I didn't have too many clients in their 90s last year filing bankruptcy. You know, so, you know, how they hold their assets for asset protection, for balancing, for estate taxes, or even for a premature death. It's very important.
Sure. Self-employed. Yeah. You know, if you're running a business, yeah, great deal of liability at a much younger age. So, so you emphasize, I thought you were dead on, because I think the one I see most often on young families with children is like, oh, well, we haven't done our wills. And it is like, well, what's going to happen to the kids? And all of a sudden, the wife sits there with that dumb, well, she'd go to the kids would go to my sister. Well, does she know that?
Right.
A.
Right.
And B, does the husband necessarily agree to that?
Right.
Like,
right.
Have you guys talked this
exactly
through?
Exactly.
You know, but now we're going to move along. So a few years goes by, kids are growing up a little bit, and you've been fortunate to accumulate some assets. So now there's a home.
Yeah.
Now there's probably a little bit of savings. There's some retirement accounts. And it gets into more of that estate planning in that traditional sense. And asset protection starts to come on your mind, because you might be starting to see your own mom and dad start to slip or get a little older, and you're thinking, well, and you're spending so much time running around saying, well, we got to protect mom and dad's stuff.
Right.
You know, that's the point where you should begin focusing on your items as well.
And oftentimes, you know, we had this conversation, my partner and I, at lunch, is that, you know, describing our practice to somebody else is that those oftentimes are our best clients because they've seen it happen. You know, sometimes those younger clients, when they do come in, they're usually driven in. Now, to your point, a lot of times it is the wife who is the responsible one saying, hey, you better find somebody and make this happen. Or it is a situation where maybe, his father, went into the nursing home they're in a crisis mode to try to protect assets. They're saying to themselves, hey, you know, I'm in that sandwich generation. I'm taking care of them, but I'm getting up there too. And I've heard about this 5-year look back period. You know, should I be doing anything? So oftentimes they take a lot less convincing that they need to do something, and they're witnessing it happen, and oftentimes become better clients in the sense that, you know, you don't have to tell them that this is a reality because they've seen it happen, you know.
What goes into these trusts? I mean, and I know that's kind of a blanket statement.
Sure.
So you got your savings account, you got some brokerage, you got your 401k plans, or maybe your IRAs, and you got your house, which may or may not have a mortgage left on it, and you say to yourself, all right, well, you know, we did the wills when the kids were there.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we're updating our powers of attorney and health, kind of those foundation documents.
Sure.
But maybe we do need something more sophisticated, which is a trust.
Right.
You know, and there's a million different types of trust.
Sure.
And you as a professional would sit down and say, well, this is the most appropriate, in my professional opinion, for you.
Sure.
Now, what's next after that?
Yeah, so really it comes into the situation where, and you're exactly right, you know, you hate to liken it to shoes or, you know, sneakers or whatever, but I guess I'm thinking sneakers because I just picked up a couple of, I'm so out of date with sneakers, it's amazing. not to kind of get off the topic too much here, but, you know, I was amazed when I went online and I saw all the different choices of sneakers you could buy. You know, this one, in running sneakers in particular, if you are, you know, basically knock-kneed, I had to get online to find out what some of the conditions they were talking about and how scientific this stuff has become. But isn't that the world? Everything has become so scientific, which is why we all have to specialize. And really what it comes down to is getting a client coming in, they fill out our intake sheet, they express their concerns, we make them aware of other things that they may not even be aware of. We call it the Rubik's Cube model of planning. They come in because they want the green side done. You got to tell them, oh, you got to do orange, yellow, all the other sides, because there are a lot more ways you can lose your money other than this particular concern you have. Now, we'll take that consideration, you know, into consideration, but, you know, we'll finish this up when we get back, but there are a lot of trusts out there, and we'll talk about which ones may be appropriate for who and how.
All right, that's estate planning attorney Brendan King from EstatePreservationLaw.com. We are taking phone calls today. If you have a question for Brendan, you can certainly give us a buzz at 888-205-2263. That's 888-205-2263. Be right back.
Business news you can use. It's Money Matters at 9 and Frankie Boyer at 11. We are the Money Matters Radio Network on your radio and online at moneymattersboston.com.
Pawsox Red Sox baseball, big league fun at family prices. This year's Pawsox team is made up of players that are young and fast, and many with veteran experience. Don't miss your chance to see these guys. Box seat tickets are only $11, and general admission is $7 for adults and $5 for children and seniors. For a schedule or for tickets, call 401-724-7300 or visit Pawsox.com. Pawsox Red Sox baseball at McCoy Stadium. Big league fun at family prices.
Money Matters Weekend. Not just for your radio.
Money Matters Radio is making the move.
What do you mean I have a face for radio? I'm going to be on TV.
Money Matters Weekend with Chuck Nilasek, Sundays at 11:30 a.m. beginning May 1st.
You know, that face comment made me nervous.
That's right. Sundays at 11:30 on Fox 25, join Chuck Nilasek and his cast of experts for Money Matters Weekend. Each Sunday, Chuck will cover all areas of your money. That's Money Matters on TV, only here on the Money Matters Radio Network.
It was about 4 years ago when the economy started to derail. We paid for it with a terrible stock market crash that started in late 2007 and did not bottom out until March of 2009. Please consider today's environment when looking at your investment portfolio. We have elections coming up next year. We have a much worse deficit that we had in 2011, and our debt rating is at risk of being reduced by Standard & Poor's. These are all issues that could affect your portfolio. When was the last time you talked to your investment advisor about these issues? This is Chuck Zada, and we've been advising clients on their portfolio for years. Would you like a second opinion? Have a free portfolio review and consultation. Call 781-433-0001. We have offices all over Metro Boston. 781-433-0001. For a free portfolio review, call 781-433-0001. That's 781-433-0001.
Chuck Zada is a registered representative offering securities through Securities America Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Every month we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like GEICO's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. GEICO.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, easy squeezy lemon peasy.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Money talk all day.
I could do a lot of things if I had some money.
We're the Money Matters Radio Network on MoneyMattersBoston.com.
Okay. This is the Money Matters Afternoon Edition. I am your host, Paul Hunley, from the Armstrong Advisory Group today, and speaking with estate planning attorney Brendan King from EstatePreservationLaw.com. Brendan, prior to the break, we were talking about that estate planning process, that getting kind of in the more sophisticated mode of past just basic wills and foundation documents of powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, living wills and HIPAA forms, which get overlooked, you know,
I see that with people all the time.
Hey, you got a power of attorney? No, I don't. Okay, well, what happens to this account if you know, something happens to you?
Oh, I'm never going to become incapacitated.
Never.
I'm not crazy.
Every man is never going into a nursing home. Right. So, but you were talking about, all right, well, here we're looking at the term trust.
Yeah.
And you brought up the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
And saying, well, there's a million models.
Yeah.
To kind of this document.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So basically, you know, when we're thinking about, and I think that's the term is people will come in oftentimes and say, I need a will. And of course, it's our job to figure out what that means, you know, because people will sometimes that's AKA, I need some help here. Okay. I need a will. Okay. And that's kind of like, it's almost like when you go into a foreign country and you speak a little bit of the language and you're just trying to get somewhere. You say a couple of words and they point you in the right direction. Well, that's kind of when, you know, people come in, they'll oftentimes say, I need a will. And then we're trying to say, okay, well, let's talk. What's going on? Probably one of the more common and foundational documents beyond that, or what we call in our office the modern day will, is the living revocable trust. Okay, and you've probably seen, again, dozens if not hundreds of these things, and probably most of them unfunded, right?
Yeah. More often than not.
Yeah. So, you know, and the idea here is the living revocable trust is oftentimes the dispositive instrument these days to replace what was the will. Okay, the will handles the, you know, probate assets, and we talked about what those were, assets in your name alone without a listed beneficiary. So the idea of the trust is to actually dispose of the assets like the wills shouldn't say that past tense, but they, it's kind of, you know, did, and really dispose of them in a private and efficient manner. And what I mean by that is that we're trying to avoid probate here, for one. Assets inside these trusts, and when I say inside, what I mean, and this gets to our little joke earlier about funding the trust, is that when you die and the asset is titled in the trustee's name of the trust, that is not a probate asset. So then what happens is that we don't have to go to probate, we don't need to start the process, and the successor trustee can come in and administer that trust. Now, the trust will then have provisions, what happens when I die? I want it split, just the same type of terminology that you would put in a will. But now we don't have to go to probate to do it. We have the authority given ahead of time. We have a contractual an agreement between the trustee and the grantor and the future trustees to perform what is written inside this agreement, this indenture, to make sure that they have a fiduciary duty to make sure that what the grantor wanted or wished or stated in the document happens. And that could be a number of things. That could be to distribute assets equally to the children. It could be to hold assets in trust for the children or for grandchildren. The beauty of these trusts is that you can carry on and protect assets not only from the probate process, but you're keeping things private out of the probate court. You're keeping the cost of probate out, and you're keeping assets in trust to protect maybe future beneficiaries. Maybe you have a special needs child or grandchild, or maybe you just want to protect assets from children who are doing fine, but you know what? You just don't want them to have those assets subject to their marital estates if they were divorced. Or you don't want them to be subject to the claims of creditors if they, you know, were to go out and hit that bus full of nuns or whoever it is, you know. I mean, it's really a situation where even good kids have involuntary things that happen to them. I mean, things that are totally out of their control.
Sure, absolutely. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the cost of probate, the time it takes, and the risk you put yourself in by failing to fund these trusts or failing to develop a trust. But first, let's run down to New York and touch on the Bloomberg Business Update.
This is a Bloomberg Business Week update. I'm Carol Masser. Corporate entertainment spending tanked during the Great Recession. Event planners now say that chief financial officers are finally loosening the purse strings for corporate events and retreats. Thomas Black wrote the story in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week.
Companies realize that they need these events to actually help morale the company, and employees really look forward to these type of events. So even though they cut them in 2009 and sometimes in 2010, they really feel the need to bring them back on. They want to be low-key. There's no more Madonna in your backyard or 50 Cent at a bar mitzvah. People don't want the flash. They don't want to make the headlines of the Hollywood gossip columns. They want to keep morale up. They want their employees to have fun at these events, but they don't want it to become a newsmaker.
Especially after many companies have cut jobs. Steve Einzing of BookingEntertainment.com says companies are definitely more careful about being flashy. I'm Carol Masser.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Susan from Miami asks, do you believe virtue is its own reward?
Ah, yes, indeed I do. But I also think cash is a pretty nice reward. And cash is exactly what you could save when you switch to Geico.
Right.
Yeah, and Geico also offers rewards in the form of good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and defensive driver discounts.
So maybe discounts are their own rewards.
Hard to argue with that.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the Better Business Banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
All right, welcome back to Money Matters, the afternoon edition. I am Paul Hunley from the Armstrong Advisory Group. Speaking with estate planning attorney Brendan Keene from estatepreservationlaw.com. Brendan, prior to the break there quickly, we were talking about the trust, the multitude, the types of trust. But I wanted to jump back to that, you know, prior to. So let's say, whether it's neglect, procrastination, which is probably what we're all more guilty of.
Sure.
Everyone knows you should do it. You just don't get around to it. I want to talk about probate.
Sure.
Because everyone says, I want to avoid probate. I want to touch on three topics.
Okay.
All right. Oftentimes, I hear probate's expensive. Mm-hmm. That, true
sure.
or not? How long does that really tie up your assets? Because that's part of the reason people put beneficiaries and put things in trust is the efficiency of getting those assets to your heirs.
Right.
And if something's in probate, and even if you have a will, that doesn't necessarily mean it's ironclad. So
right.
if you could just touch
right.
on those three topics.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, a couple things. You know, the issue of probate is always interesting because I think people typically think of avoiding probate and the thinking about the death context. But I always liken it because we put so much focus in our office about lifetime because, quite frankly, as much as I care about where my clients' assets go when they die, I care probably a little bit more when they're alive because they need them. You know, when they're alive, they need them, okay? And I represent my clients. So we're also cognizant of what's called the living probate. I mean, and you hit it right on the head before with respect to the healthcare proxy, the power of attorney. Those are small documents, but they can help us avoid a living probate because if I become incapacitated and all of my accounts are in my name and I have not given anyone a permission slip to handle those assets, i.e. through a power of attorney or healthcare proxy for medical decisions, where do I got to go to get the permission slip? Probate. That's a living probate. And that's a pain in the butt. It really is. I mean, we're talking about guardianships, conservatorships, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Then we have the death probate, which is I think where most people are saying I just really don't want to have my family deal with that because really the issue there is okay, the old man's gone. We all kind of got along when he was here, but now he's gone and now it's like, you know, we're going at it. And the issue there really becomes, you know, what happens at that point? Okay, so when someone dies, you talked about the first issue is cost. Why does it, you know, cost so much? Well, the cost is entirely dependent on most lawyers, or at least I, charge by the hour.
Okay.
In that process. Some charge a percentage of the assets. And the idea is that if you have to file the paperwork, go to probate, get these things done, a lot of times it depends on what needs to happen. There might be more filings or more court appearances if there's a business and we need a temporary put in to get, you know, the process going. So those fees add up, filling out the paperwork, doing inventories and accountings and that sort of thing, advising the client. Then the issue becomes is contesting. Okay, so if a will goes in and we hand out notice that this is the will and the will leaves out one of the children, they file an appearance and an objection to the will. Okay, so now no one has been appointed yet. And now the lawyers are going back and forth. Well, billing by the hour, that racks up time. We haven't even gotten an appointment yet. So you can kind of see how, to give you the classic lawyer answer is, how much does it cost? Well, it depends. It really does. And so that's why people want to keep that out of the public process and appoint someone privately to deal with their assets. Because if you appoint someone, or what I would say is, I should use the word nominate, because that's what you're really doing in a will. You're nominating an executor. The court appoints them. Okay? But you need to go to court to get the appointment. Here, in a trust, you're nominating and appointing. You, as the grantor, are saying, this is the person that's going to do it. No fighting. They are it. And there's no notice. There's no what we call ringing of the dinner bell. You know, hey, you got to know, hey, boy, I could really get something out of this. What does that will say? Oh, and then they take it to their lawyers, and then lawyers will kind of jump into the frame, and you've got that situation on your hand. So the idea here is to avoid probate as much as possible. Have as much of that done outside of it. Now, that's not to say that we never avoid probate entirely. I do have situations, but usually has to do with in the Medicaid arena or nursing home protection. I had the situation that actually happened today. We do ram things through probate sometimes when we're trying to, you know, take advantage of a certain regulation in the nursing home laws that basically deal with trusts inside of wills, testamentary trusts, if you will, as opposed to the living wills, living trusts we were talking about earlier. With respect to, so that has to do with cost. Now, the timeline that you had addressed is the other concern people have. Well, the timeline, as we kind of just described, before you even have the appointment, you're going back and forth for months just on getting the appointment, but assume you do. One of the things that we, when we represent executors or personal representatives of an estate, will advise them to say, well, listen, you have the appointment, you can distribute everything and end this thing now, but creditors get 1 year to file a claim, okay, against the probate estate. If you decide to pay out all the money, and then in month 11, a creditor comes to the estate and says, oh, by the way, he owed all this money, and perfects the claim, and all the money's gone. Guess who's on the hook for that?
Okay. I think that's called a clawback. Right. I learned that term through the Madoff. You know, exactly.
And how many people do you think are going to put back in? So it's ultimately on the executor or executrix in this situation to deal with that. That's why we advise them to hold off if we can.
All right, folks. If you have a question for Brendan King or a concern or even a comment, feel free to touch base with us at 888-205-2263. That's 888-205-2263. We'll be back with more probate talk, more trust talk, more estate planning talk right after this break.
Those other guys putting you to sleep? Your energy boost is right here on Boston's best source for financial news and information, the Money Matters Radio Network.
Springtime in the backyard. Brought to you with a little help from Ace. For a limited time, buy a Miracle-Gro Liquifeed Kit for only $15.99 and get a $6 mail-in rebate. Limit 2. A canopy chair on sale for $19.99 and more. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn points. Plus, get expert advice to save you time and money. Now that's a value. Hurry in to Ace, the helpful place. Prices good at participating stores while supplies last. See store for details.
In Massachusetts, the Community Spousal Resource Allowance is only $109,560. This means that if your spouse becomes ill, you, as the surviving healthy spouse, are only allowed to keep $109,560 of all the household savings. Hi, this is Todd Lutzke, a partner with the law firm of Cushing & Dolan, and unfortunately, many seniors do not learn this until it is too late. A Medicaid income-only trust can be used to protect your home and your money from the high cost of a nursing home. You should probably ask yourself, why don't I have a Medicaid income-only trust? I have prepared an educational report that will explain how these trusts work and who they benefit. 781-534-9555. Medicaid trusts are income tax neutral, and most importantly, you can still maintain control over the assets within the trust. The only catch is that it takes 5 years to fully protect the assets from the nursing home, and that is why you should call now. 781-534-9555. 781-534-9555.
Money Matters Weekend. Not just for your radio.
Money Matters Radio is making the move.
What do you mean I have a face for radio?
I'm going to be on TV.
Money Matters Weekend with Chuck Nilasek, Sundays at 11:30 a.m. beginning May 1st.
You know, that face comment made me nervous.
That's right. Sundays at 11:30 on Fox 25, join Chuck Nilasek and his cast of experts for Money Matters Weekend. Each Sunday, Chuck will cover all areas of your money. That's Money Matters on TV. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin.
What's the champ wearing? Looks like an examination gown. And from the back...
Ooh, that's not pretty.
Champ, what's with the get-up?
I've got to take care of my family, so I'm getting those important medical screens.
The fight is over! Champ, you look pretty healthy out there tonight.
But I'm still getting those tests. For a list of tests you need, go to AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Precious Rose, you color our world. Till insects and disease turn it upside down. So backed by over a century of Bayer science, we've created Bayer Advanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care. It's the only no-spray formula that works three ways, controlling bugs and disease as it feeds for brighter, more vibrant flowers. So count your blessings and stop to smell the scientific advances. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Welcome back to Money Matters, the afternoon edition. I am Paul Hunley from the Armstrong Advisory Group, speaking today with estate planning attorney Brendan King from EstatePreservationLaw.com. Prior to the break, Brendan, we were discussing, if you should procrastinate, neglect, or anything to putting something inside of a trust or a lack of owning a trust and probating assets post-death.
Right.
And we talk, it can be costly.
Sure.
It can be time consuming.
Sure.
But more importantly, it's not necessarily maybe the ironclad document
right.
that you may have thought it was.
Right. And very typical situation is when a client will say, well, this particular child has irritated me in some way and, or done something that I disapprove. I'm going to cut this particular child out. Okay. In those situations, it is a very good idea to avoid probate if you can. You're totally, by the way, in your right to omit a child. You can't necessarily omit your spouse without, prenuptial agreement or something to that effect because spouses have rights in each other's property. But the, ability to omit a child is okay. If a child is omitted, even if you put language in your will, at least in my experience, it says, if you contest, I'm going to leave you $10 or something. If you contest, then you don't even get that. Well, how much does that work? Because if they do contest, and here's the point, I put forward the will, we still have to give that child notice. Now, he sees that he's not a beneficiary. Well, he's going to go to an attorney and say, well, if we throw down, we start challenging this, you might lose your $10. Who cares? We'll settle because the cost of this probate litigation that we're involved in now is going to be worth them to settle to pay you off. So to your point, they sometimes can take anyways. I mean, what's to lose? That's why all the more reason to avoid probate because no one gets notice in a trust. Okay. Someone dies, the beneficiaries are there and you move on and the trust gets administered. There's no notice, there's no challenge, there's no nothing. That doesn't happen. So all the more reason to have what you want to have happen to stay out and do it privately with a private express trust, a trustee.
All right, folks. If you have a question, comment, concern for Brendan, you can certainly give us a call at 888-205-2263. That's 888-205-2263. Let's go to Northborough and talk to Mary. Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon. I have a question regarding irrevocable trust. I understand you can put your house into an irrevocable trust and prevent it from nursing home costs. However, if the bulk of your assets is in IRAs and the amount of IRAs is either equivalent to or slightly more than the value of your house, how do you protect that from nursing home costs?
How do you protect the IRAs?
Yes.
Yeah, that's always a tough one because with respect to the IRAs, you owning them in your own name, and that's really one of the requirements, they're pre-tax. So in order to protect something like that, and we're just going to assume that you're, you know, a single individual, you'd have to take the money out, pay the tax, and then put it into the irrevocable trust, which is tough to do because now you're going to start paying tax on that.
You know, as a financial professional or CPA, I'm sure they'd look at you sideways.
Right, right. So a lot of times, you know, and it depends on the situation, you know, and there are situations where that might be appropriate, maybe not necessarily with a trust, but maybe through an annuity or something like that when you have a spouse and you're trying to take advantage of, you know, the income stream a community spouse can take. However, in a general situation, you know, you've got to be aware of, and this gets back to the Rubik's Cube we were talking about earlier, you know, people will often come into us and so focus on protecting everything from Medicaid or the nursing home, and that's that green side we were talking about that they want done, but we've also got to make them aware that, well, if you do this, these are the consequences. We call it the scales. Throw them up on the scales, and how do they balance out? You know, how do you feel about that? Can you do it? Yes, but what are the consequences to that?
So basically the money is at risk and there's really no economical way to hang on to it.
That, you know, I, without being the attorney, the idea is if this is your IRA, there are some last minute annuity options that you may have that could be still tax efficient. It may accomplish some protection level. A spouse's IRA is more difficult because you would have to pull the money out and rinse out the tax and go about that manner, but no, without really just kind of yanking the money out of those retirement plans and putting them in the irrevocable trust, crossing your fingers, paying some tax, and waiting 5 years, there's not, I believe, much of a method. And that's why I think if you sat down with Brendan, he'd tell you when you add up everything, you know, get the house protected, get any other after tax, and use that IRA money. That should be your first spin down bucket.
Exactly. That's where you would really, you know, as assets go, those would be the last assets we would protect, if you will. Uh-huh. Because as you're pulling those monies out, and say you are spending them on the cost of nursing home, well, that's still an offset to the deduction for the income that you're pulling out. Now, beyond that, if you're thinking about how can I protect these assets, well, that's really where there may be other solutions other than an irrevocable trust. For instance, long-term care insurance. It might be wise to pull some, and again, I'm not a financial advisor, and I'd have you talk to Paul about that, but would it be wise to maybe pull some money out every year to pay for a policy that would insure that IRA? So again, you know, there may be other options. The irrevocable trust is something we use in our office all the time and is very useful. But again, it has to fit. We can't just, you know, shoehorn assets that maybe don't belong in there, just to protect it for that reason.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Mary.
Again, if you have questions, comments, or concerns for Brendan, you can certainly give us a call at 888-205-2263. That's 888-205-2263. We also have a family four-pack of four tickets to the Pawtucket Red Sox. So if you're interested, we're going to be taking the fifth caller for those at that same telephone number, 888-205-2263. So, Brendan, you know, she brought up the irrevocable trust. And prior to that, we were kind of talking about those family living trusts. And, you know, just a minute or two. I mean, what's really the dividing difference between those two? Because when there's 100 trusts. But those are probably two on this show that we talk about the most frequent.
You're absolutely right. And really what we're talking about here is they're both, in these situations, they're both what we call living trusts. In other words, they're both trusts that you establish while you're alive outside of the will. They're really, trusts can be broken out into two general categories. Of course, you have the revocable, irrevocable, but really living and testamentary. The two most commonly used, and a lot of times in our office, you'll set up a revocable trust and an irrevocable trust. Both trusts will help us keep assets out of probate, but the revocable trust is for the assets that we want our clients to have access to. The irrevocable trust puts those assets beyond the access or use for our client, hence protecting it. Because if there's a peppercorn of ability to have that money come out to our client, then it's no good. NG, as my old man used to say, NG. Okay? You can't have that because then it won't be protected. The idea, it's protected because you can't get it, they can't get it. And the reason the trust works so well, not to get too caught in the weeds on the taxes, but it is tax neutral, but it also gets it away from kids' issues because so many times we'll say, well, let's just put it in the kids' name. you know, bad move. Again, also NG. No good. Okay, because there's, you know, again, not only for just tax reasons, but, you know, spouses, you know, if your kids get divorced, you've just put assets into their marital estate, you know, you can go on and on why that's a bad idea. They could predecease you, and then it goes to their spouse. I mean, there's so many reasons why you wouldn't. So the irrevocable trust insulates it. The difference is one you have access to, one you don't have access to. And typically where we put, you know, a lot of times you'll see the home or the primary residence goes into the irrevocable trust, maybe some other cash or money markets or assets that they don't plan on using.
Highly appreciated stock.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those types of things that, because it is tax-owned, oftentimes it will be, we'll draft it to be part of the gross taxable estate to get that step up in basis at death, but we're getting it out so that we're not going to lose it in a spend down for the nursing home.
Okay. But irrevocable scares a lot of folks.
Yeah, right.
You know, in the sense they hear that term, they say, but, you know, who's in charge of this?
Well, now that's a great question because lawyers tend to be split on this issue. In our office, we feel it's okay for our clients to be the trustees, and that the trustee is the person who is in control of it. But you can also have children who are trustees as well or an independent trustee. The idea is that, in our opinion, the trustee is not the issue. It's the beneficiaries who are really the issue. Our clients could be the income beneficiaries of these trusts, these irrevocable trusts, and can receive interest and dividends, what we call trust accounting income, that comes out payable to them. So if you invested there's a dividend or some interest, they can take that. They can't touch the principal, hence the name income-only trust or irrevocable income-only trust. The principal beneficiaries cannot be our clients, but they could be the kids. And so, you know, the kids can receive principal during the lifetime of our clients.
I'm going to follow up with you on that. If you have questions for Brendan King, estate planning attorney, give us a call at 888-205-2263, 888-205-2263. We'll be right back.
This is Debbie Kickham of Maxima Marketing in Westwood, Massachusetts, with your Money Matters Marketing Minute. What can you do to maximize your marketing and make you and your business memorable? Well, why not spoof movies and TV shows? That's what Cardi's Furniture Stores have been doing for years. And owners Nick, Ron, and Peter Cardi confirmed to me that it's been great for business. They admit that their movie spoofs of Batman and Star Wars have little to do with sofas and chairs, but the idea takes their business out of the everyday advertising clutter and gets people talking and paying attention. To create their movie spoofs, the Cardi brothers built their own in-house studio to keep costs down. When they spoofed Betty White's performance on Saturday Night Live, they put their 89-year-old mom in the commercial and aired it right before SNL began on Saturday nights. It was a huge hit and sounds like an Oscar-worthy venture to me. This is Debbie Kickham from Money Matters Radio.
All money talk, all the time. It's Stu Taylor at 11 and Tiger Financial News Network at 4. We are the Money Matters Radio Network on your radio and online at moneymattersboston.com.
Mark, someone is staring at me.
What, like making eyes at you?
Yeah, I guess.
Where? Over there?
Oh, behind you. He's sort of small, like a little stack of money, and he has these big eyes, like googly eyes. He's staring at me.
You sound like you're sort of enjoying this.
Well...
That's it. No, I'm looking.
Oh!
What, that? That's the money we could be saving with Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
In times like these, violence in our schools is a reality. So it's important to know what to do if a dangerous situation arises, and also how to prevent it. Kids, never bring a weapon to school. And if you see a student with one, or even hear someone talking about having a weapon, report it immediately. If something doesn't seem right or look right to you, speak up. If someone you know is showing signs of anger, or if you are feeling out of control, tell someone. If you feel threatened or bullied, tell someone. Violent acts often start out as small disagreements. Tell a parent or teacher if you see an argument taking place. It's better to let someone know about a disagreement before it gets out of hand. Let's put an end to these tragedies. Ask your school to adopt an anti-violence program. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how to keep your school safe. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Spread the word! Now you can build your better breakfast at Subway.
Breakfast, breakfast, yay, breakfast!
And it's made just how you like it.
I like egg whites.
On an English muffin.
Black forest ham. Nothing better.
And American cheese.
Jalapenos and tomatoes.
Subway now has breakfast, like the Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Fresh toasted and made just the way you want, only at Subway.
Subway, best! Products may vary, may be available from opening to 11 a.m. at participating restaurants.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
This is Money Matters, the afternoon edition. I am your host, Paul Hunley from the Armstrong Advisory Group. Speaking today with estate planning attorney Brendan King from EstatePreservationLaw.com. Brendan, before we get back to our conversation, in the last segment, Mary called in, had a question about irrevocable trust and IRAs. If Mary wants to give you a call off air, or reach you off air, or anybody else out there who might have a question off air, what's the best way to do so?
Well, let me give you the phone number is 508-751-5010. Again, that's 508-751-5010. Or you could send me an email as well, bking@estatepreservationlaw.com. Again, that's bking@estatepreservationlaw.com. Those are two real good ways to do it. We offer free consultations. So, you know, anyone who wants to, and we do travel. So, although we're in Worcester, we also have some satellite offices, but, you know, we're always on the road. So, happy to oblige.
You somewhere.
I'm always on the road, so happy to oblige.
Okay, perfect. We were talking about the irrevocable trust.
Right.
And you know, there is the great debate who's in charge, who could be
right.
The trustee.
Sure.
I'm always a big proponent of, you know, whether they're doing it themselves or the family, I think that's important. I feel the third party trustee, I've seen that not work out in the historically.
Sure.
But, you know, going back to the kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's this kind of thing, well, all right, people who do this type of planning traditionally have a pretty good relationship with their kids, I find.
Right, right.
But they're still somewhat reluctant to either bring their kids into the fold. On what they have going on.
Right.
Or they are concerned. Well, okay, what happens in the case of a divorce?
Right.
If my son or daughter's the trustee of my trust, can my son and daughter sell my house? Can they call my financial advisor and sell all my stocks and take the money out? Mm-hmm. I mean, what protections are there?
Right. The answer to your question is no and yes. they would not be if a properly drafted trust. And the idea of the trust in general is to not only suspend the assets from the issues of our client, but also the issues of their issue. Their issues, if you will. So, you know, the answer to the question of, you know, would it be subject to, you know, their creditors' divorce, that sort of thing, no. Do they have the right, if they are the trustee, to sell things, you know, sell the home or sell the securities? Yes, as the trustee, the legal owner, if you will, of the property. Absolutely, they do. And you brought up a great point earlier about your experience. I think that's the one thing about, you know, all of us as advisors is that, and I've had this conversation with another client this morning, you bring your own biases and experience to the table. Now, my bias and experience, and my listeners know I have four kids, I love kids. However, I am not a big fan of giving kids, my clients' kids, a lot of control because I've had some bad experiences. I've had money stolen out of trust. I've had money taken, you know, in those scenarios. So again, in the Rubik's Cube model, my job is to protect the assets. Okay?
Absolutely.
And my clients, if they serve in that role as trustee, yeah. I know the debate and some lawyers are concerned about whether that's too close and whether that would be a countable asset. Again, as legal practitioners, there's a fiduciary duty. I'm okay with it. I know some other lawyers are okay with it too. It's not that they're the trustee. They can make those decisions. However, they can't be the beneficiary. they can't take the money back for themselves. Correct. So that being said, I like the security reason of having the my client at least be a trustee, if not the sole trustee.
All right, absolutely. And really where our whole conversation started today, and we've covered so much, is titling assets. So we're gonna go down to Wall Street. We're going to get a quick Bloomberg business update, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about how do I make sure I paid an attorney to do this trust. How do I know items are in there right after this?
Sounds good.
With the Bloomberg Small Business Report, I'm John Tucker. Key Bank says small business lending started rebounding in the fourth quarter and is now at a level not seen since mid-2008. The health of their small business clients is holding strong. Those clients are starting to think about growth again. Maria Coyne is Executive Vice President of KeyBank's Business Banking Segment Group.
Across all industries, even those that were hit hard, like construction, during the recession, the companies that are in good stead are starting to borrow again.
KeyBank is also out with its fifth Key for Women Competency Index. It shows women business owners were more optimistic that the economy is recovering. The index found that about 42% are planning to increase employment over the next 12 months. About 70% of women business owners reported that they will maintain current average selling prices, while 26% plan to increase them. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by June 30th, 2011 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon when you use your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Purchases in Louisiana and New Jersey do not qualify. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card that is linked to SpeedPass. Maximum gallons eligible for rebate is 100 per account. Offer may not be combined with any other SpeedPass offers. Allow a minimum of 90 days to receive rebates.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Welcome back to Money Matters, the afternoon edition. Again, my name is Paul Hunley from the Armstrong Advisory Group, joined today by Brendan King from EstatePreservationLaw.com. Brendan, first thing, I'm going to give my opinion out there. If you've been listening to us and you haven't even started trust, whether it's irrevocable, living, or any other out there, call Brendan's office, get that free consultation. He'll travel. They got offices close to you. They'll come to you. Give the office a call at 508-751-5010. That's 508-751-5010. Now I want to talk about the other folks that we were talking about earlier in the program. Maybe they're hesitant to call you because, hey, I did my trust work. I got this big fancy pamphlet that law office charged me an arm and leg to do. I think I'm all set. What are some of the clues for those who say they've done their trust work to find out whether or not it's been properly funded?
Well, funding is a matter of titling. And I think that sometimes people think, well, I haven't funded my trust. Where do these assets go? Like they go somewhere. There's some big dump truck that comes up their driveway beeping, and then you throw all your assets in, and it's funded. No, it actually, really all it is, it's just a title change. Because one thing that, and I think it's even a misunderstanding by a lot of lawyers, is that trusts actually don't own anything. Trustees do, okay? So a properly funded trust, if you will, is in the trustee's name. It'll say Brendan J. King, comma, TTE, trustee of the Brendan J. King 2007 Revocable Trust.
Okay.
Okay, then maybe comma, UAD, under agreement dated 7/9/2007. And then that's how you know your trust is funded. When you get your statements in the mail, and if you have a brokerage account and you're wondering if your brokerage account was transferred, How does it get mailed to you? Does it get mailed to your name individually? If so, then probably it's in your name. Or does it get mailed to you as trustee of your trust? Because if in that situation, then you know your trust is funded. Now, oftentimes, I think a lot of even institutions will not really understand the concept, and they'll actually just title it in the name of the trust. But that's not right. The real titling has to do with the trustee and whoever the trustee is, because the trustee is the legal owner, because that's what a trust is. A trust is actually a split in title between legal and beneficial title. So the legal title owner, the trustee, if you will hold title for the benefit of somebody else. And so that's really how you know. Now, assets, money markets, brokerage accounts, you look at the statements, you can tell. Beneficiary designations on life insurance. You know, if you're naming your trust as a beneficiary, you got to change the beneficiary to, instead of it saying the current trustee, we say, well, it doesn't make sense because you're the current trustee and you're dead. The then trustee. So in my trust where I have life insurance funding my living trust, I won't say my trust. I'll say the then trustee of the Brendan J. King 2007 Revocable Trust, UAD, blah, 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 same type of thing. The tax ID number of most living trusts, revocable living trusts, when you're alive and you're the trustee, your social security number. Once you leave that as a trustee, if someone else is a trustee, oftentimes it's a good idea to get a tax ID number.
Yeah.
And that's what it's reportable under. But these are all what we call grantor trusts. So the grantor, the person who set it up, is going to be taxed on the income on that. Now, real estate deeds, that's how you move real estate titles. So when you're thinking, well, I wonder if my house or my cottage is in my trust. Got to check out the registry of deeds, and you can go on right online. How's it titled? Is it titled in you and your wife's name as tenants by the entirety? That doesn't mean that means it's not funded. In that situation, I'm not saying to break a T by E, because T by E has a lot of creditor protection that I personally like. But say, for instance, you did want to put your cottage or a non-primary residence into your trust, you would deed it from yourself to yourself as trustee of your revocable trust, and oftentimes you'd have to file a trustee certificate. You will file a trustee certificate so that they know that your trust exists, and the deed will get transferred, and then title is taken real estate-wise through deed. So those are some big ones. We talked about real estate, regular brokerage accounts, future interests that come payable, like a life insurance. Retirement accounts, there's some different kinds of trusts you could get into, and there's some pros and cons about income tax, consequences with designated beneficiaries, having a true designated beneficiary for stretch purposes. However, concept's still the same. The then trustee of your trust would take title. And again, that's a beneficiary change.
Okay. So you really want to take a note of those registrations on your property tax bill, your water bill.
Exactly.
And
what
your
are the
brokerage
signs?
Accounts.
Yeah.
And of course, the irrevocable trust will have its own TIN number. So look at those 1099s and the way that those come in.
Absolutely.
Tax time.
Absolutely.
All right. Again, folks, if you want to talk to Brendan King off the air, give him a call. 508-751-5010. 508-751-5010. That's estatepreservationlaw.com. This has been Paul Hunley from the Armstrong Advisory Group. Have a good afternoon. Go Bees.